This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we wanted to dive into Bucky Brooks' latest mock draft, which he published 2 days ago on NFL.com. Now you can get lost in a sea of mock drafts at this point. We're less than a month away from the 2025 NFL draft, but we can go quickly through his top four or five, and then we'll play some audio on who he has the Commanders selecting at number 29. All right, so at the top of the draft, this is no surprise, he has the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one overall. Seems like they're locked in on him. I think they have another meeting with him and or another private workout after he just did his pro day a few days ago in Miami. So they're either in love with Cam Ward or acting like they're in love with Cam Ward to get somebody to come up to number one.
Right.
So we'll have to see how that plays out. At number two in this mock draft from Bucky Brooks, he has the Browns selecting Shedeur Sanders. He has quarterbacks going back to back at one and two.
Now, have you guys been following these rumors about Dak Prescott to Cleveland?
I have not. I haven't even seen that mentioned yet.
Yeah, so there's some speculation that they're interested in Dak via trade. I don't know how possible that is. I don't know that Dallas would do it. You know, Dallas always has a lot of noise and rumors because they're America's team.
I don't.
So that would be Dak to Cleveland for the number two pick?
I mean, again, it's rumors.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. If I'm Cleveland, I'm not parting with the number two overall pick for Dak Prescott. There's no way I would ever
pull the trigger on that deal.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering where those rumors are starting.
And if I'm Cleveland, I feel like I would need to. Don't you feel like you need to start fresh, especially in the wake of the Deshaun Watson fiasco? Like, you're going to sign Dak, who's, I would guess, his best days probably behind him in the league.
Jane Slater, who we've had on the show.
I don't know if I would do that.
She said that it's fake news.
Right.
She said that she ran down two sources who said it was fake news.
Right.
But I'm just saying that it's out there.
Brooks says about Sanders getting pick number two, Kevin Stefanski has worked well with traditional pocket passers throughout his career. Sanders fits the bill as a classic dropback QB with a game built on touch, timing, and anticipation.
But weren't you guys just telling me yesterday that you didn't think Cleveland was going to take him?
I don't. I tried to put money on it. But
I don't think that. But Bucky Brooks, who's much more plugged in than your pal over here, seems to think that's going to be the case.
But they are desperate for a quarterback. So let's see.
At number three, he's got Travis Hunter going to the Giants, adding a two-way standout. Doesn't solve the Giants' most pressing need, but Hunter's playmaking presence would help the offense and defense improve. And the fourth in his top four here with the Patriots has Abdul Carter falling to four. If Patriots personnel chief Elliot Wolf is truly committed to taking BPA, best player available, the Penn State product, would be a no-brainer at this point.
The question is, if Shador doesn't go two to the Browns, and let's just say Cleveland takes Travis Hunter or Carter, and the Giants are sitting there, and Hunter and Shador are there,
right?
Who do they take? I mean, I know they went out and signed a quarterback for 1 year, but do they take Shador and say, "All right,
personally,
this is our future. He's not going to start in his rookie year unless he overwhelms us. He can sit behind a veteran, and then next year he can be the number one."
I think when you sign two veterans like that, then they've pretty much said we're kind of out on this quarterback class in 2025.
You might be right,
but that's
so
just
maybe
a guess.
They take Travis Hunter there.
Also interesting in Bucky Brooks's version 3.0 mock, he has not one but two running backs being selected in the top 10 of the draft, and I can't remember the last time that's happened. He has the Raiders taking Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State, and then he has the Bears taking Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, at number 10 overall.
Yeah.
Basically, they're saying Ben Johnson's used to a two-pronged running back attack in Detroit. This would be the same, him pairing up Hampton along with DeAndre Swift.
In Chicago,
DeAndre Swift would be like Jahmyr Gibbs light. Hampton would be the more bruising, physical David Montgomery style back in Chicago.
Right.
So he's got two running backs going in the top 10. All right, so now let's jump to the Commanders pick at number 29. Bucky Brooks has the Commanders selecting Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas, who ran a blazing fast 4.29 at the NFL scouting combine.
Yep.
His blurb on Golden: the motivation to build around 2024 Offensive Rookie of the Year Jaden Daniels could prompt the Commanders to take a playmaker early.
Interesting.
So you would pair up Golden along with Debo and Terry McLaurin and Zach Ertz on your offense. And you got a lot of nice pieces there. This would be the real field stretcher of the group if he runs around
100% field stretcher. He averaged 17 yards a catch. He had 9 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards on 58 catches. Obviously, Texas was a very explosive offense. So that would be interesting. Transferred out of Houston to Texas. Only played Texas 1 year. But that would be interesting since they did go out and get Debo. They drafted McCaffrey last year. But just to add another weapon, that would be, there's going to be picks where you go, I didn't think they needed that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think he would go in that direction. But, we don't know what these GMs are thinking.
Let's hear what longtime NFL analyst Greg Cosell and Scout had to say on the Ross Tucker podcast about Matthew Golden.
The guy that jumped out to me, I saw him before the combine, was Matthew Golden from Texas. And he obviously ran exceptionally well. I don't think he plays exactly to his 4.29 40-yard dash time at the combine. To me, I thought that he has really good route running refinement. I thought that he had separation quickness. I thought he worked for multiple splits in Steve Sarkisian's offense, and that's an offense that does a lot with the pass game. I thought he had a really good feel as a route runner with the pace and tempo of different routes, changing speeds through his vertical stem. I think he's a three-level dimension. I think there's a vertical element to his game. He was a receiver that I thought would be ascending when he gets to the league. And he's not this receiver at all in terms of traits, but the receiver last year that I felt watching his college tape that would ascend once he got to the league was Brian Thomas. And that worked out that way. And I think Matthew Golden, to me, kind of falls into that category. I think he'll be an ascending player once he gets to the NFL.
I mean, that's pretty high praise.
No doubt. They have to prepare for the future.
Right.
Terry McLaurin is basically 30 years old. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
Well,
they may sign an extension this year.
Yeah, he's going to
because
get
he's a team leader.
Yeah,
but Debo only has 1 year left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him some extra money, made him happy, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have some decisions to make next year or during the season with those two. So, but both guys are older for receiver standards, so they got to prepare for the future.
You're right.
If Matthew Golden is even Brian Thomas light, you would take that, especially with the number 29 pick, because Thomas had a ridiculous freshman campaign in the NFL.
Oh, he was awesome.
Almost 1,300 yards receiving, 87 catches, 10 touchdowns.
And just think about with shoddy quarterback play.
Yeah, you had Mac Jones throwing him the ball for part of the season. Trevor Lawrence got dinged up early in the season and had to miss the remainder of the 2024 campaign. So if you get anything close to that sort of production, it's a home run.
But JP, you're right. Fans always look at that the next season. Like they look at what you need for that particular year. So a lot of fans go, well, you know what? We've got McLaurin.
Right.
We went out and got Debo. We've got McCaffrey. You know, we've got some other guys. Noah Brown, they re-signed him.
But Peters isn't approaching it that way.
No, GMs go,
yeah.
They probably think the way JP just said.
Totally, they have to.
We need to look at next year and the year after and the year after.
Yep.
And
they're looking at the cap, too.
So like, I could see them going out and getting a receiver going, okay, well, he might be our number three now, but eventually he's going to be our number one.
Sure.
Also, they got to look at the cap, right? So Terry, who's making upwards of $15 million this year, if you're going to sign him to an extension, it's probably going to start with a three, right? These receivers are making so much money now. Now, he's not on Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson level, but he's the next level of wide receiver.
I mean, the guys you mentioned are making 35 plus.
Right.
I can't remember Jamar's number. It's close to 40.
What's Stephon Diggs get?
He got
$26 million
guaranteed.
Right. So,
but he's in the 30 range.
He's going to get at least Stephon Diggs money.
Right.
Whenever they re-sign him. And I'm going to assume that they would re-sign him, but they're going to have to do that with Debo as well. And they probably can't afford that. So bring in a young guy.
Right.
And then maybe you have to make a tough choice. Maybe Debo indeed is a rental.
Are you okay with that? If you were a Commander fan, are you okay with drafting a receiver at first round?
I'll put this up as the Junkies poll of the day.
Offensive guy.
Yeah.
Junkies poll of the day brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bar and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Vote at Junks Radio.
And you always have to.
Are you okay with them drafting a wide receiver in the first round, given that their defense was the biggest issue last year?
That was a huge issue, but you always want to layer talent at every position. But look at the Bengals. We just talked about Jamar Chase. Like, they're outlaying huge money to both Chase and Higgins. What if one of those guys goes down? What if one of those guys goes down with an injury? Then you're just stuck with Jamar Chase, and I know they re-signed Mike Gesicki at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have one or two guys that are explosive, and one of those guys shreds his knee or Achilles, you need that depth in your wide receiver room, and this could be that cheap, controllable cost depth where you get him at the end of the first round. You're not paying him a ton of money while you're paying Terry McLaurin and Debo the big money.
Yeah,
I would like it.
And he could turn into your McLaurin for the next 5 to 7
years.
Hopefully
that would be the case. Those are big shoes to fill.
But I'm just wondering how Commanders fans feel going into next year where they got to an NFC championship. They feel like they're getting better.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the precipice of getting back to a Super Bowl. What are our key needs? Do we need a receiver or do we need an edge rusher? Or do we need a linebacker? Or do we need someone else in the secondary? Do we need someone on the offensive line? All these fans have different perspectives and opinions, but you just have to trust Peter. So if Peters went out and drafted a Matthew Golden, and who knows if he will even be there when they're drafting, but if they drafted a receiver like a Golden, I think you have to trust that they know what they're doing.
And I think if I'm Peters, I feel like if I'm not moving off that first pick, if I'm not moving back to accumulate extra picks, that number 61 pick, that's the prime spot to just keep moving back. Because I need to get some of these picks back that I've dealt away for Laremy Tunsil, for Lattimore, for Debo. Like, they don't have a lot of picks right now. Presently, they have 5 picks in the 2025 draft. Like, I think Peters is going to want
7 or 8
picks instead of just 5.
We'll see.
So, I would not hate another wide receiver to complement Jaden Daniels at the end of the first round.
Would you hate them trading out of the 29th pick and acquiring
if Adam Peters feels like that's the best move to make.
That's where they're selecting, right?
29.
Yeah.
If he feels that they can, you know, score an extra third round pick and maybe a fifth round pick in the process by moving back 8 or 10 spots, I still have a lot of faith in Adam Peters to make the correct moves when they need to be made. He hasn't shown me anything to not trust him going forward.
I would be nervous, though, if my first round pick goes to the wide receiver, given the defense and given the biggest addition was Kinlaw. You lose Fowler. Who's rushing the passer?
That's a great question.
Who's rushing the passer?
Something Adam Peters and his staff, they're going to have to figure out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just wondering if Commanders fans kind of agree with you going, we don't really need a receiver.
Right.
We can get one later in the draft, but at first round, we got to get the best edge guy. You know? And again,
maybe their answer to another receiver is the guy they drafted at number 100 last year, Luke McCaffrey, who didn't have a very big role.
Yeah.
Maybe they just say, you know what? We're going to bypass wideout. McCaffrey gets a bigger role. Obviously, we brought in Debo. We can get by. They re-signed Noah Brown. They can get by with the receiver room as it is.
They definitely can get
they
by.
They can kind of patchwork it
But
together.
If you do have your eye towards the future and you have somebody like Golden available that you really like, I think you take them. My guess is I don't think they are locked in on a position at all.
No. Doesn't seem like it.
I think they have some crossouts. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're not going to look at quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're not going to look at tight end. There's some other positions that they're not going to look at. But would I be stunned if on offense they went with another lineman? Mm-hmm. No. With a running back? No. Wide receiver? No. And on defense, I think they could pick anything.
I can't.
Because you know what? They're eventually going to need a Bobby Wagner replacement.
Yep.
If you're talking about eye on the future.
Yeah, you're right.
You're going to need a linebacker. Now, we love Luvu. He's productive. But you're going to need a young linebacker eventually. You need the edge rushers. And, of course, they could use help in the secondary.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. It is an open line Thursday. Brendan is checking in from Fredericksburg. What's up, Brendan? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Brendan.
All right, I got two comments. One's for college basketball. So we've pretty much turned college basketball to the NBA, mm-hmm. and college football is the NFL. Mm-hmm. So what would really make college basketball great, and I'm a diehard Indiana Hoosier fan, so if they figured out a metrics where maybe the top 40 teams on some ranking are allowed to do this, sometime in January, they're allowed to poach a blue-chip player from a terrible team, pay that school $1 million for the next year for their NIL collective, and they get to add that one player for the stretch run.
So it's like a trade window.
Stretch run regulars. What'd you say?
Like a trade deadline, a trade window.
Yeah, I mean, we've turned it. How great would that make college basketball? We've turned it into the NBA. It's a free market. It's capitalism. Let's go all the way. Let's say.
I think that's a little too much like the NBA.
Add one blue chipper.
I think that's a little too much like the NBA.
So a mid-season transfer portal.
And how great would that be if you were some great player that just happened to get stuck on some team that has 6 wins and there's no chance for you in the postseason? And then there's a bidding war for you from Duke, North Carolina, Maryland, all the blue chip schools. Think of sports radio and the fans talking about that right before the deadline.
It would definitely generate interest.
I think that true college basketball fans hate the fact that the portal exists like it does.
Yeah, the purists.
And the fact that you have players that can basically play at 5 different schools in 5 different years, and they want to see some sort of a rule to kind of rein this all in. I don't know if I would like more NBA, electives and allowing players to transfer within the same season and then play for the different school. I'm going to say no on that one.
Well, yeah, it stinks because let's say you're a Maryland fan. You're rooting hard for the Crab 5.
Yeah.
All right. You don't know if any of them are going to be back next year. Realistically, you don't know if any of them will be back.
I mean, would you want it, Derek Queen to go transfer to Kentucky in January? Extra money?
He's going to be transferring to the Atlanta Hawks or the Toronto Raptors.
You know what I mean?
Transferring.
I'm not going to lie. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Rice just transferred and is a key member of the Maryland Terrapins. He could transfer again.
Sure. Of course he could.
Of course he could.
He gets a better offer from another school.
But that's what I'm saying, that a lot of people can't stand the fact that you can play at 5 different schools in 5 different seasons.
Yeah.
That you should be limited on the amount of times you can transfer. And But I would not agree with that caller and say, yeah, it's okay for you to transfer within the same season and still play for that different school.
All right,
I'm going to say no on that.
Don't forget, coming up at 8:25, we'll talk Caps hockey with Nick Dowd. They take on the Minnesota Wild tonight. He'll be on the show at 8:25.